When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If your business needs a new application, then developers will have to write code, a lot of code. If an application needs to be modernized, then you'll need time, resources, and caffeine. If that sounds daunting, then you need Watson X Code Assistant, AI designed to multiply developer productivity so you can generate code quickly. Let's create a more modern foundation for business with Watson X Code Assistant. Learn more at ibm.com/codeassistant. IBM. Let's create.
What does every grocery store aisle now have in common? Products that come in paper packaging. And not just the obvious ones like cereal boxes and juice cartons. From beauty products to boxed water, there are more opportunities to go papertarian than ever before. So why should you? Because paper comes from a renewable resource and can be recycled up to 7 times. Simply put, it's the smart choice for the environment. And it turns out the easiest choice for you. Learn more at howlifeunfolds.com/papertarian. Welcome to Stuff You Missed in History Class, a production of iHeartRadio. Hello and happy Friday. I'm Tracy B. Wilson.
And I'm Holly Fry.
We talked about Michelina Wautier or Michelina Wautier. Hopefully I didn't make anyone really furious about which pronunciation we went with. If I did, I'm sorry. That birth year. Okay, these episodes did not come out in this order, because we had a whole series of other episodes in between them. But I recorded this episode, or I researched this episode and the Mary Dyer episode back to back. So if you've heard the Mary Dyer episode and the behind the scenes, you know I went down a whole huge rabbit hole about where the place of execution was in Boston at that time.
Right.
In this episode, I went down a giant rabbit hole about what her birth year was supposed to be. And I spent so much time searching various permutations, trying to figure out, like, did someone discover a new, like, a new document? Was there something that clarified her birth year to 1614 instead of 1604? And I did not find a good answer. And I was like, if I had made that discovery, I'd be telling everybody. And so, like, then I was like, I'm going to have to, for the second episode in a row, contact a random person and ask them for help. And in this case, it was, like, the contact address for the Center for Netherlandish Art. I wish I knew the details of, like, what new documentation suggests that 1614 is the right year rather than 1604. But if you go looking for any information about her, of which there's just not a ton, you will see a lot of places have 1 year and a lot of places have the other, and some places have both years in different places. It was a lot. I'm very curious about where that correction came from. One thing I found a brief mention of that I did not put in the episode just because it didn't seem totally germane and also seemed like something that could strike people oddly is that Michelina and her brother Charles lived together for their whole adult lives. They're both artists. It seems like they probably shared a home for their whole adult lives. They did own their property. There's a little fuzziness there. There are a couple of places that are like formal official documents about like property they bought or whatever, that like mistakenly identifies them as husband and wife. And then like somebody crosses that out and is like brother.
Right.
Which like makes sense that like two adult people living together forever, that people would just assume that they were a married couple.
For sure.
But really they were siblings. And, you know, those were among the very few currently known documents about their whole lives. man, I wish we knew so much more about her. I wish we knew a lot more about her personality than what we can imagine based on her placing herself as a self-portrait
right.
in the Bacchanal.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it's interesting, right? Because we can guess, and it seems like that must mean she was kind of a firecracker.
Mm-hmm.
But we could be wrong. You know what yes. I mean? Like, we could be, we don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe one day we will discover something else of hers. Perhaps a little diary.
Yeah. That would be cool. There, I've also, in various lectures that I watched people give about her, people also seem pretty confident that there are other as yet undiscovered mm-hmm. paintings. Because, because she was so not well known at all. Apparently the 2018 exhibition, as is often the case when there's a big art exhibition somewhere, you know, there are posters of it all over town and the bus shelters are
right.
decorated. Like, suddenly this person's name is everywhere. And that really seems to have prompted a lot of the people realizing that they had a work in their own collections, or private collectors realizing whose work they had. I read an article that was about this exhibition at the MFA that was about Rosemary and Ike von Otterloh getting this call or email or something like that from an art dealer who was like, hey, this is going to be coming up for sale. And how delighted and astonished they were that, like, number one, it was Micolina Wattier's work. But, and then number two, that it was specifically the Five Senses, because that was, you know, work that people had been trying to find. And that was just, at this point, 3 years ago. So
I know every time it came up in the telling of this, like, oh, that was not figured out until 1965, 1987. Yeah. This is like history unfolding before our eyes.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is cool.
I don't really know what the story is behind when Garland with Butterfly was rediscovered. All I know is that I was trying to find more information about it. And then I was like, this museum says have it on loan right now. So it's been found. Great. There was, as folks may know, I'm continually looking at and bookmarking links to talk about on Unearthed. And there was one that just within the last few days was like three previously unknown paintings by 17th century masters. And I was like, are any of them Micolina Wattier? None of them were. But like my very first thought was, is it a new Micolina Wattier painting? I was not even there to look at that at the MFA when I stumbled onto these. Not only was I not there, I was not there to look at European art at all. The MFA is having another Hokusai exhibition, which is, we have done a Hokusai episode before, after previously the MFA had done a different Hokusai exhibition. And so Patrick and I had gone to see that, and then he had other plans for the day. He left, and I was like, I'm staying at the art museum, and then I'm going to walk all the way from the MFA to North Station, which I did. And my plan had been to go into the Japanese and other Asian art area. All of that is currently being redone, I think. So a lot of the things that I was going to go look at were not, like, that whole area was closed off. And so I was just kind of wandering around the museum. And then I was like, who is this beautiful self-portrait? I've never heard. What's the Center for Netherlandish Art? Like, it was a whole discovery process that day at the MFA. And then a very long walk on a very windy day.
This is a little bit of a jump, but I keep meaning to mention it to you and forgetting, but you mentioned Hokusai.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see the Doc Martens that they were doing with Hokusai art?
No.
I 100% bought a pair of those boots so fast.
That sounds great.
You know, Dr. Martens does a lot of collaborations with big museums, and they pick out kind of iconic pieces of art and they put them on shoes. And I have a few of them. Those Great Wave boots are real good.
Yeah.
They still have them in quite a few sizes, so you might get lucky if you go to Kikaroo.
Nice. This particular Hokusai exhibition is about like Hokusai's students, the continuing influence of Hokusai's work. And so there's a lot more like modern work as part of the exhibition. There was a lot of stuff in it that I thought was really cool. We really enjoyed it. And so if you are into Hokusai or other Japanese art or other art influenced by Japanese art, well, that's the thing happening right now. I'm not clear on whether this Micheline Wattier exhibition, how long it's going on, or if it is just a permanent part of the collection now. But I'm very glad that I stumbled over it while not even there to be looking at European art at all.
Magical accident.
Yeah.
I'm going out with the girls this weekend. Nails done. Outfit stunner. And my skin? I know it's going to be glowing because I glammed up my shower routine with new Olay Indulgent Moisture Body Wash. It smells so luxurious and deeply moisturizes with its super rich, creamy lather that's bursting with vitamin B3 complex. So my skin glows and my confidence grows. Try new Olay Indulgent Moisture Body Wash for glowing skin in just 14 days.
Happy Pride from Tomboy X, celebrating Pride and the queer community all year. Queer founded, queer run, and the makers of the original boxer briefs for women, creating sustainable size and gender inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies so you feel comfortable in your own skin. Tomboy X just dropped their Pride 24 collection, obsessively fit tested for all day comfort in sizes 3 extra small through 6X. Visit tomboyx.com.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel. Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI. There is still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI in revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better. In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more, while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Talked about Louis Sullivan this week.
We did. And Chicago architecture.
Yes.
Yes.
Which I love that city so much. So it's also a joy to get to talk about it a little bit. Louis Sullivan's autobiography is amazing.
Yeah.
And it was one of those things where I had it ready. I had purchased a Kindle version, a modern reprinting, and I had like written out the bones of the episode already. You know, because sometimes that's easier than like pouring through someone's memoir, which is often a little flourishy. It's a little harder to follow the timeline.
Sure.
Because then usually I'll go back through and then I'll go back to the autobiography and be reading it. And I can be like, oh, there's the touch point of this.
Right. Yes. Yeah.
It was one of those things where this very rarely happens. But when I then opened his autobiography and started reading, I was like, Brian, this is delightful. It's like his turn of phrase. He was a very good writer. I mean, that first thing that you read early in the episode where you were like, that is delightful. The entire book is like that.
I love that.
Is very, very good as a writer and conveying things. A lot of it, like a full, I mean, it felt like a third of it is about his youth.
Mm-hmm.
Even though he is writing this in, you know, at the end of his life when he was in his 60s.
Mm-hmm.
What's interesting, though, is that he ends his memoir after the Columbian exposition. Like, that's the end of it.
Okay.
Is him being angry. Like, it's literally like the denouement of that book is they have ruined everything. And it's pages and pages of how angry he is. And then that's the end of the book. And it's like, wait, you were living almost 30 years longer after that. What are you?
Now, so I've not read this book, obviously, but I'm like, is that what motivated him to write an autobiography that it really was going to be a treatise about how the White City ruined architecture?
I mean, part of it, yes. I mean, he was commissioned to do it, but I think in terms of his layout of it was like, fine, I'm going to tell you why you're all wrong.
Why you're bad and your opinions are bad and your taste
think
is bad.
Everyone was all wrong. I mean, it's really interesting. We only talked briefly about his assistant, Elsley, who was, seems like he must have been very good natured because he didn't have like a rose colored glasses version of Sullivan. He wrote about him in very honest terms. It was like, oh, he's really, really arrogant. Like, he is exactly the guy. I didn't write it down, so this won't be a word for word. But he literally talks about, like, he gives everyone advice whether they want it or not. Like, he will walk up and tell you everything that's wrong with your design, even if you're not, you know, part of it. And he would tell off clients, you know, like, he would be like, no, your taste is bad, and I'm... You hired me because I know what I'm doing. You don't know what you're doing, which may be true.
Yeah.
But it's not a good way to run a business.
No.
So it's not surprising that he was like, this will be my manifesto of how you ruined architecture in the United States. There were two things that are very, very extra interesting in this autobiography to me. One is a little tiny weird note about his dad. His dad, Patrick Sullivan, was, as we said, Irish. And... From pretty humble beginnings, because the story that Louis said he was always told was that his father, when he was still just a kid, was on his own because he had lost his father in a crowd at a county fair and never found him again. And I'm like, did he get dumped off at a fair?
What?
And like, because I mean, you would think if a parent wanted to find their kid, they would. I don't know. This is a weird little detail that I was like, what?
Huh.
The other thing that is really, really interesting to me about his autobiography are the omissions.
Okay.
Because three people do not show up in it at all.
Three important people?
His wife.
Okay.
Frank Lloyd Wright.
I was going to say, is Frank Lloyd Wright one of them?
And his brother Albert. Never appear in that book at all, even though he was apparently close with all of these people and had fallings out with them.
Yeah.
I think he was real good at grudges and not real good at like the reflection necessary to be able to talk about those things. Like, I have known people, and I have certainly had times in my life where there was like an unpleasant thing and I never wanted to talk about it again.
Mm-hmm.
But eventually, ideally, you grow and like talk through it. And that's how you don't get plagued by things like that.
Uh-huh.
This is why therapy is great.
Yeah.
I don't think he ever got to that point. He just was like, the book is closed. Margaret is dead to me. Albert is dead to me.
I am so intrigued by this mystery wife.
Right? I found one article about her, and it really was like, we don't have a ton of information, and it does seem like she was not always truthful about herself.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there are a lot of times, like, there's a very good documentary about Louis Sullivan that talks about her, and it, like many other things,
mm-hmm.
tells the story as though here's a man of 44 and he married a much younger woman of 27. But then this one article I read was like, we think she was actually in her 40s.
Oh, yeah.
And that she had just been fibbing the whole time that she was much younger. So it becomes extra hard to track her down because it's like, well, if you don't have a birth record, like,
then what? Yeah.
How do you even know who the parents are? Which, you know, a lot of people in the 19th century were, you know, fabricating their own backstories
mm-hmm.
for whatever benefit. I'm not going to judge, but it makes it really hard to document you for the future. Yeah, we don't. She really just pops up out of nowhere. It doesn't. There's no like there was a courtship and they fell in love. We knew he was dating her. And then they got it's like suddenly he had a wife. Oh, wait, that didn't work out. Like, yeah. Mysteries. Mysteries.
I'm going out with the girls this weekend. Nails done. Outfit stunner. And my skin? I know it's going to be glowing because I glammed up my shower routine with new Olay Indulgent Moisture Body Wash. It smells so luxurious and deeply moisturizes with its super rich, creamy lather that's bursting with vitamin B3 complex. So my skin glows and my confidence grows. Try new Olay Indulgent Moisture Body Wash for glowing skin in just 14 days.
Happy Pride from Tomboy X, celebrating pride and the queer community all year. Queer founded, queer run, and the makers of the original boxer briefs for women, creating sustainable size and gender inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies so you feel comfortable in your own skin. Tomboy X just dropped their Pride 24 collection, obsessively fit tested for all day comfort in sizes 3 extra small through 6X. Visit TomboyX.com.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel. Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI. There is still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI in revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better. In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more, while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. And I will say, again, I think based solely on the recognition of his incredible skill and his achievements, his peers, I don't know that they were forgiving of him, but they were very magnanimous with him. Like when he reached those rough times in his later life, people that he had talked a lot of trash about were like, dude, I will help you. What do you need? Like, mm-hmm. I will give you money. We will set you up in a room somewhere. Which is like, for as crabby as he seemed to be with people, I think that speaks very highly of how he was regarded. But oof, that's when he reconciled with Frank Lloyd Wright, was when he needed help.
Oh, dear.
And Frank Lloyd Wright was like, all right. I mean, you did teach me a lot. I feel like just the fact that he had to write in his autobiography that he was not an enfant terrible. It's like, dude, nobody accused you of that. So this kind of seems like you must have been.
You're telling on yourself a little bit here.
A little bit. But I also do like the idea that he was like the kid who wanted to cut class, not to go cut up, but to go watch a blade of grass grow.
Yeah. I mean, as the kid who kept getting in trouble for reading during class, but not reading what we were supposed to be reading, I feel a little empathy there.
Yeah. Here's what's really interesting to me about his story. Because he was, I think, smarter than the average bear and was probably thinking circles around a lot of people that he encountered, he dropped out of one program after another and yet kept getting snapped up for jobs. So he had to have been really good at it, just mm-hmm. naturally. Because, like, can you imagine if you went to a job interview and you're like, oh, no, I went to that program, but it was boring. I left after 8 months. And then I went to Paris, but I kind of messed around in Europe. And I don't know, I hung out in Italy. I went to the Sistine Chapel. That was cool. Mm-hmm. And then I came back here and I don't know. I mean, I want to work in this field, I think. I just, it's also boring. Like, would you be like, yes, you should absolutely be part of our firm.
I know a number of people who have extremely successful careers in a field and also either like dropped out of college or failed out of college, but they did it one time, right?
Yes, the chronic nature of his like abandonment of education is what got me.
Yeah.
I mean, it worked out sort of.
Mm-hmm.
It does make me sad. I mean, I have to confess, because as you know, like, I mean, I love all of the styles of architecture he got real crabby about, but I also really love change and people experimenting. And so I can see why he would be like, why do you want to build the same stuff over?
Why do we
over?
Want to have more neoclassical architecture everywhere forever?
Wouldn't it be cool to do something new? I'm like, yeah. So I understand now how fussy that would make a person, especially because people were like, wow, this is amazing. I mean, when the auditorium opened, like the president visited the opening because people were like, what is this amazing building? You know, it was like a big, big deal. And so for a moment, he was like the golden child. And then suddenly people were like, meh, we're going to go back to all of the marble stuff that we used to do. We're going to do it. We're going to do it like they did it in Paris in the 1700s. Wait, what? Why? Why? I could see where that would, you know, kind of form a kernel of resentment that you then write a manifesto about in your memento, in your memoirs. You have set architecture back 50 years, which I think, I mean, in reading a lot and in watching a number of documentaries about him, I think most architectural historians do agree where they're like, yeah, it did. Yep. Yeah. We could be in a whole different place style wise in the U.S. in terms of our buildings and the culture around them if we had not done that one thing.
Mm-hmm.
At that one expo, which is a fascinating turning point for an entire, you know, cultural style to hinge on. Anyway, Louis Sullivan, I hope if there is an afterlife that it's all beautiful and experimental for you.
Yeah.
He and Gaudi could have been buddies, I think. if you have time off this weekend, maybe go look at some of his stuff. Next time I'm in Chicago, I'm going to hunt down a couple more of his buildings. I have seen several, but I want to see more. And I have never been inside the auditorium. And I want to real bad because it's still open. They still have shows there. It has had a lot of pretty significant work done to restore it to original design spec, which is pretty amazing. And every photograph I see, I'm like, breathtaking.
Mm-hmm.
I would almost not, as if I were a performer, not want to play there because I think everybody would be gawking at the beautiful architecture, which is pretty great. So if you have time off this weekend, we hope you look at something beautiful, whether that is a blade of growing grass or a beautiful building or a painting or whatever delights you. If you don't have time off, I still hope you get to look at something pretty and at least take some deep breaths and find some relaxation for yourself. We will be right back here tomorrow with a classic episode. And then on Monday, there will be another brand new one to kick off the week.
Stuff You Missed in History Class is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Happy Pride from Tomboy X, celebrating Pride and the queer community all year. Queer founded, queer run, and the makers of the original boxer briefs for women, creating sustainable size and gender inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies so you feel comfortable in your own skin. Tomboy X just dropped their Pride 24 collection, obsessively fit tested for all day comfort in sizes 3 extra small through 6X. Visit tomboyx.com.
I'm going out with the girls this weekend. Nails done, outfit stunner, and my skin? I know it's going to be glowing because I glammed up my shower routine with new Olay Indulgent Moisture Body Wash. It smells so luxurious and deeply moisturizes with its super rich, creamy lather that's bursting with vitamin B3 complex. So my skin glows and my confidence grows. Try new Olay Indulgent Moisture Body Wash for glowing skin in just 14 days.
Diamonds Direct has done it again. This month only, get ready for an offer you can't resist. Buy a natural diamond engagement ring of 1 carat plus and receive a free natural 1 carat diamond tennis bracelet valued at $2,000. That's right, a stunning diamond tennis bracelet at no extra cost. Imagine giving her the ring of her dreams and her wedding gift all at once. So hurry into Diamonds Direct. Your chance to get a free tennis bracelet will not last long. Details at DiamondsDirect.com.